There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Backwards Week. We've decided that this week we will mix it up slightly. So, to start us off in an unusual way, is Archie. Welcome as always.
Mate, I always start off in an unusual way. That's why I'm always trying to chase my tail at the back end of a fantasy footy season, because I always start off so crappy. So, yeah, I think it's right within my wheelhouse here.
It could well be. It's been an interesting few weeks out there in the fantasy world, but there's been plenty of joy and plenty of disaster as well, Arch. It's that time of the year, I guess.
It is. So what we're going to do today, Zano, is we're going to quickly reflect on the week that has just been with our good, the bad, and the ugly, which we normally do towards the end of the podcast.
Yep.
But then, more importantly, we're going to look forward to this weekend with the games coming up, given that we're recording on a Wednesday evening.
Yep.
So I guess it's more timely to look forward than backwards. So we'll start off with the good, the bad, and the ugly, Zano. And we'll let you kick off. Who's going to get your good this week?
So I put another line in a little bit, Arch, about some bad scores, but at the moment, I'm going to give some real huge credit to some midfielders out there. In fact, most midfielders out there. Mate, scoring on the weekend was exceptional. Absolutely extraordinary from the midfield. So I'm going to quickly run through this. This is a long list, so I'm going to rattle it really quickly, right? This is a list of pretty relevant salary and even draft relevant midfielders, right? And their scores from the weekend. So it works from Friday through to Sunday. So watch this space, okay? We'll work through this. Tuk Tuk had 141 Dream Team and 153 in Supercoach. Ellis had 101 and 98. Isaac Smith, 192. Merritt, 143 and 107. Darcy Parrish, 143, 190. Petrarca, 136, 123. Oliver, 104, 87. Taranto, 115, 105. Josh Kelly, didn't count him in fantasy because he's forward, but 118 in Supercoach. Callan Ward, 112, 114. Ben Keyes, 91 and 88, but you would have got him pretty late in draft, so you're going to take that anyway. Lions, 133, 123. Titch, 108, 110. Warple, 96 and 96. Wines, 151, 109. Amon, 109, 126. Boak, 194, after being on about 8 at half time, mind you. It carved up in the second half. Andy Brayshaw, 124, 135. Adam Chera, 98, 111. Sam Walsh, 128, 138. Luke Parker, 100, 105. JPK, 90, 189. Dom Sheed, Arch. What happened there? 129 and 75 in Supercoach. The efficiency there might have been down a bit, mate.
I was going to say you can tell the difference between getting the ball and then doing something with it.
Fair enough. Tim Kelly, 97 and 80. Mind you, 75 and 80 there probably does wrap up the Eagles' weekend. Pendles, we aren't counting in fantasy because he's forward, but 107. Steele, 157, 154. Dunstan, as you mentioned, Arch, 117, 118. Hill, even he had a good game, which is telling you something. 99 and 113. Libba, 119, 107. Bont, 104, 83. Jackson McRae, 94 and 138. Benny Cunnington, 131 and 113. And Jai Simkin, 99 and 73. There is a lot of relevant guys there with some bloody good scoring going on, Arch. Very good scoring,
I reckon. Yeah, and we saw that reflected in the scores over the weekend as well.
Oh, did we? What? I mean, you know, you loop Tuk Tuk's 141 if you had him. And then a lot of people who had Merritt as their loophole the second night went, oh, this sucks. Of course, he knocks out your 143. So, and I was dirty as well because I actually looped Parrish in Dream Team. And Merritt was miles ahead of him at one stage, and then Parrish went hard late and caught 143. It was just amazing. So now there were a couple of poor scores, Arch, that, you know, sort of proved the point, with Guthrie 58 and 40 and Nat Fyfe at a 72 and Supercoach Cripps 69 and 89 and Brad Crouch 81 and 83. We won't worry too much about them because, wow, I mean, some of those scores there must have been, had to have been one of the, I don't know if you've done the stats and have been busy. Well, has, for scores over 100 and say 20, it has to be one of the most ever, I would have thought. It has to be up there.
Look, I must admit, I haven't, Zano. I have been too busy to do the stats from last round. I've got to find some time to do that. But, yeah, just looking at those scores, it'd go pretty close.
7, 8, I'm just counting them, 9, 10, 11 midfielders alone with a score over 120. That doesn't account the forwards or your defenders or your rucks either. Anyway, it was a huge round for midfielders, so, Arch. And after we talk
so
about...
So the most that we've had in a round, mm-hmm. So round 6, we had 24 players overall go for 125 plus.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll be interested to see how it stacks up.
Yeah, very interesting. It was there was a lot of 150s in there, over 140s as well. Big scores this week. I mean, what's his name? Parrish had a 190 in Supercoach, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Take that. All right, Arch, let's have a quick chat about your good.
My good, you mentioned him before, Zano. I'm going to give it to Luke Dunstan. Now, not so much for salary. Obviously, he couldn't be too salary cap relevant because he missed most of the start of the season, but... In draft, and again, not so much for draft straight away, because many people didn't actually pick him up. He was on a lot of waiver wires because he didn't actually play a game until round 5, so he largely went undrafted. Even in round 5, Zano, he got 74 points and then got dropped until round 11. Then when he comes back in, he scores 140, 86, 111, 99, and 117. So that's a season average of 104 and a last five game average of 110. Now, surely he can't still be in on any waiver-wise. I know I picked him up just off waivers a couple of weeks ago in our draft league. But, mate, I've been very happy. He's bumped out a couple of, midfielders that I actually drafted in.
Yeah, he's been... Look, we always knew he could score, but for some reason he was just on the outer, wasn't he? They didn't like him, didn't want him. I don't know what it was. But we always knew when he was in... Last year he had, 101 the first round, and then never played again? Something along those lines.
Yeah, so, he was the top scorer or something like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, at one stage.
At the top average.
Might have been much more. Might have been 151 or something, but he had the best average for the year, played one game, which was the first game of the year. So... I found it was quite interesting, to be honest, Arch. I don't...
Yep.
It's a great pickup, but, you know, I don't know what his job security is like, because they mustn't like him for some reason.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he's got a good block of games in now, so hopefully he's cemented his spot in there.
Have to wait and see, but, look, he could be a huge trade target at some stage as well, somewhere.
Well, so, exactly. Who knows. All right, Zano, you're bad for the week.
Being old, Arch...
Oh, doesn't it suck?
I've gone and picked another string on the weekend.
Tell them why, Zano. Tell them what you did.
Oh, I'm just the usual playing a game of footy.
Exercise, Zano. Exercise. I've always said it's not healthy to exercise.
I think it is. The version of football we play at our age now, it's the aftermath that sort of completely destroys the a point of exercising, because the eskies come out before the game's even done. So, you know, that might be the biggest issue there. I don't think beer's great for the muscle recovery. So, just again, Arch is the term I use. I've just done it again. Just a story, you know. So, lucky it's not a baddie, but it's enough to be annoying more than anything else. Put it that way.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Don't get old, everyone. It sucks.
No, don't. And just remember that alcohol affects you later on in life. All right, Arch, enough of our hardships. What's your bad?
Well, I'm going to go from our hardship to the West Coast Eagles hardship, Marno. And I'm giving it to just the flat-out lack of a plan B from their coaching staff. So as we saw on the weekend, they got absolutely annihilated by Sydney in Geelong.
Yep.
Words I never thought I'd hear myself say before last year. But they've built their game plans, Zano, around uncontested possession across half-back. And so they chip it around before pushing forward. You know, they find these the midfielders to push forward. And then they've got obviously really good forwards up there in, you know, tall marking targets in terms of JJK, Darling and Allen. Now, when it's working, Zano, it's an absolute thing of beauty. And especially for fantasy coaches where, you know, for a while there when it was working, half the Eagles' back line became fantasy relevant. There were a couple of weeks there where we were sort of thinking Josh Rotham could be a good pickup. Unfortunately, though, Zano, it does rely heavily on good decision-making and exceptional kicking skills. And for whatever reason, those two things have been effectively non-existent for the Eagles for the last 2 weeks, going back to when the Bulldogs fair trounced them over here in Optus as well. So they're getting stuck on half-back, and they end up bombing it towards the wings. There's no drive for the middle. I was surprised, Zano, when Tim Kelly made the... made the list of top scorers because he was barely sighted the way I looked at it on the weekend.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that because, again, he had an okay fantasy game with 97, but he only knocked up 80 Supercoach points, which tells you that, you know, I guess efficiency and kicking and the likes was down fairway.
Yep. Now, I will give you that they're missing Gaff, and they really rely heavily on Gaff to get that outside ball and provide a bit of that outside pace along the wings there. But, I mean, they brought in Tim Kelly to be this silky skilled player in the midfield that delivered the ball forward straight onto the chest of those forwards, and he's not doing it. And, you know, we mentioned before that Sheed as well got a hell of a lot from it, but butchered what he did get. You know, Shuey was tagged out of the game, and the only mid that really... held their head high, and I didn't see you actually mention him there, Zano. Did you mention Elliot Yeo?
Oh, no,
he got a nice 100 as well.
No, I was talking about fairly relevant guys, and Yeo, as you sort of said, missed a lot of football. So,
gotcha.
You know, so sorry, he scored well, absolutely, but he's only about three games in, so I don't know many people that have actually got him in many or playing him in many, you know, formats.
Well, yet, Zano, we'll come to that, but yet.
Yeah, that's right. He might come into a lot of teams at some stage, but yeah.
So the Eagles actually play North this week on Monday. And look, the betting lines, it's going to be a lot tighter. I haven't actually seen it now that they've announced the fixtures. I haven't actually seen what the betting lines are. But I tell you what, you could do worse than putting a couple of bob on North.
Yeah.
I think North will still go in as underdogs. But the way the Eagles have been playing, they need to turn it around.
Yeah, look, it's... look, you're right. They're down on form. They're down on confidence. They're down on a lot of things. It's interesting. We spoke a bit about offline earlier in the year about age and list makeup and stuff. And I think we all know that at some stage, the Eagles are going to bottom out and lose a lot of guys on that, you know, senior list. And whether it's now or next year or the year after, you know, who knows? But the signs are starting to sort of show that some of those guys just aren't able to stay with the game at the moment. The game's moved in the last 2 years. The speed and the difference the game's moved again, it might have caught them off guard by a year or two. So it's interesting to see. Not that age is everything. I can guarantee you it's not great. I'll just tell my left hammy. But that aside, you know, it's just interesting how they go. All teams have form slumps, Arch, and you know, who knows? This week it could be the one that turns it around.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. All right, Zano. Enough about me sucking about the Weagles. You're ugly for this week.
Okay, so I spoke about how good the mids were this week, Arch.
Yep.
Now I'm going to rattle out some of the defender scores here and fairly relevant ones. Okay. Now, as I said earlier, there were a couple of guys that did okay, so I won't give the scores, but Stuart Laird, Ryan, mainly Supercoach, Mills, Crisp, and I guess Hall and Zeebel in fantasy, who got defender status. Good scores. Did all right. But have a listen to some of these very, very relevant. There's not a lot of relevant defenders this year, especially in a salary sort of aspects. So have a listen to some of these guys you'd be wanting a hell of a lot more from. You had Markov, who had a 79 and a 79. Short, 65-65. Heppel had a 75 in fantasy, not relevant in defenders in Supercoach. Ridley had a 74 in fantasy. Hind was 73-87 in Supercoach. Whitfield, 85-81. The Giants, what happened here? Is there too many, it could be worth discussing at some stage. Is there too many mouths to feed there now with everyone back? Because Whitfield had an 85 and an 81. Perryman a 75 and 82. And a Cummings had a 68 and 94 in Supercoach. So their three scores well down on what they've been producing. Daniel Rich had an 83-93. CJ, a 48 and a 56. A huge target the guys traded in a week or two ago was Dan Houston, had a 70 and 67. Saad, 73-116. Lloyd, 90. He's been a bit down all year, of course, but 90-93. Maynard, a 48 and a 56. And Caleb Daniel, the spud with a helmet, a 68-68. So, and, you know, there's a chance he didn't even score in the last quarter. I reckon he was close to 68 three-quarter time. So there's a lot of relevant guys, mainly especially salary-relevant guys there that were just atrocious on the weekend, Arch. There was the back lines. You looked at your back lines, you ignored it. Then you moved to your forward, your midfield, your forward lines and your rucks. And it was just, it was what went from being good scores to what could have been exceptional scores.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take umbrage at that, Zano, and you know, go straight to my ugly, because you're complaining about your defenders. I'm complaining about my forwards. So, and I think you have, have you got Dusty as well in your team?
No, I've got the other two, but I'm
I know
Dusty.
You've got Sidey and Hunter. So Sidey scored us a 47, Dusty a 69, and Hunter a 66, which is really quite poor, considering you've got you know, like the, what's his name? The Bulldogs rookie scoring 100 odd in the forward line. Is it Waitman?
Waitman. That's
Cody Waitman?
That's the one?
Yeah. So we're just, I just needed a bit more out of them. I needed 80s and 90s rather than 40s and 60s with those guys. So it seems, Zano, you know, the fantasy gods, they giveth with one hand and taketh away with the other.
Yeah, so listen to this for my forward line then, Arch. I had Sidebottom's 47 and Hunter's 66. However, I then rocked into Pendlebury's 102, Josh Kelly's 114, Sean Darcy's 116, and Aaron Hall's 134. So that was far from my worst line. My back line was, look, I had Laird and Stewart. But outside of that, I had 268s, a 65, and a 74. So, actually, I tell you, I should have got my good.
Yeah, so mine's, you know, we talk about giveth and take away. How's this for a variety of scores in my forward lines, Arno?
Yep.
So the three boys just mentioned, what's that, about 130, 170, 180-odd between them?
Yep.
And then I had Zeebel for 107, Kelly for 114, and Hall for 134. So just a lazy 350 points between those boys.
Yep.
So, half and half, Zano, is where I went.
Yeah. The forwards were a toughness. And the problem was, you can even start looking at guys like Phillips, who's just been... I potted him last week. He's I don't know what's going on there. But, yeah, there's a couple of guys there. I mean, Dusty, you sort of expect that every now and then. Yep. Hunter. Did you see Hunter's quarter scores, Arch?
He was reasonable at halftime.
Halftime, he was on like 35, 36 at quarter time, if I remember rightly. He'd had an absolute blinder of a first quarter, went bonkers, and just stopped absolutely dead. I don't think I saw him after halftime. I can barely remember him. Yep. So, where was it? Western Bulldogs scores. So, his quarter by quarters were, what are you saying? 66. He had 29 and then 18. So he had 18, he had 47 points 7 minutes into the second quarter.
Yep.
47 points and then finishes with another 19 for the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough, isn't it?
Yeah, that was, well, he didn't score again for the entire second quarter.
Yeah, right.
Yep. He actually scored and then gave away a free kick by the looks. So, I'm with you on that. I don't know what happened there. He just stopped. I don't know if he got tagged or not, but it was pretty ugly. So,
Cool.
All right, Arch. Zanos. That gets us through that part of the nasties and the goods. So let's have a quick look at this week's games because it changes all the time. You've sort of given a few loop options here, Arch, which is there's plenty here to look at. So
it's a good week for looping, mate, isn't it?
It is. So Thursday night we've got Port Adelaide versus Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. You can obviously look at Gawn, Oliver, Petrarca and Wines there. And then on the Friday night, Essendon versus Adelaide, you've got the Zach Merritt, the Laird and the Parrish options for loopholes there. Geez, Arch, who are you looking at?
Look, I'm Zach Merritt me well. Like he did me well last week as a loop option, so I think I'm going to do with that. To be honest, I think I'm going to spread the love. I think I'm going to go different loop options in all different formats. I'll probably go Zach Merritt in AFL Fantasy. I'm probably going to go maybe an Oliver in a draft league or two,
yep,
and maybe Gawn in Supercoach.
Yeah, fair enough. I think I have to have a look at the others. I think I'd go. I'd love to put it on Wines, but against Melbourne, it's a bit tougher than the others. Essendon versus Adelaide. Adelaide are giving up some points at the moment, so I really like Merritt. And then probably into somebody like maybe a McRae against Sydney, possibly. Might be a good option on a Sunday. Who else have we got there? I've got Steele against Brisbane. I'll probably steer clear of. Hawthorne Fremantle doesn't excite me. Mind you, Tom Mitchell there might not be a bad option.
The Collingwood boys against Richmond, I reckon, might go all right.
Yeah, I've got Taylor Adams in my team at the moment and Pendles. Sidey might actually be able to crack 50. So, you know. I reckon I'd probably jump on McRae there at Marvel.
Yeah.
For the captain.
Yeah, he's the pick. Yep.
Yeah, so he's, I reckon it's... Yeah. I reckon for me, I'm looking at Merritt into McRae.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool.
Then we sort of mentioned we've got the games on Saturday, Hawthorn, Frio, Carlton, Geelong and Brisbane, St Kilda. Sunday we've got GWS, Gold Coast, the Bulldogs and Sydney and Richmond, Collingwood. And then Monday we've got the Eagles versus North over at Optus Stadium. So spread out week again, Arch, and hopefully no overlap games. It doesn't look like... Oh, there might be the Sunday, there might be the overlap still. So I'm seeing you having a rant come next week.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So obviously the Monday game has spread things out again. At least we've got Ron Lockout with that, so we'll be able to plan our trades around that, which is good.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost festival of footy-like because we finish on Monday and then start next Thursday, I think.
That's close.
So we're not going to have too much time between Lockout and kickoff between the next two rounds.
Exactly. It's getting harder and harder. So Monday, so you got Tuesday. You got sort of two and a bit days to get on top of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes it hard. But nah, that's all right. It's the way we move these days.
All right. So game away, but he played the calf issue. I think three Zeno.
Yeah.
That would have hurt in terms of cash gen. So maybe you might be someone. Basha Hooley, he'll be out for a few weeks with an ankle syndesmosis injury. He's already actually had surgery. So he may... Can we say that now? If Richmond make it?
Yeah, we can. We can. I think they will, but we can say if for sure.
Yep. And then this fascinates me. So for the game because of a tight hamstring, and obviously it wasn't testing enough because funnily enough, midway through the game, he did a hammy. And given his history, it was a reasonable hammy as well. So it'll be 6 weeks for him. So again, maybe towards the back end of the season, or he might have to come in before finals. Now, Jeremy Cameron himself, Zano, obviously not fantasy relevant, but play more for, does that affect scoring capabilities?
Danger will push more forward again now. And they'll probably push Guthrie back more into the midfield again, I would think. So
let's hope.
Yeah, that's what I'd imagine. He will play. He'll definitely play more forward. The question is just going to be how much more, I think.
Yeah. Now, Zano, you might have a little bit more info on this one, but we also saw Paddy Cripps played out the game, the tough little bugger with an ankle. Not little, he's still taller than me. With an ankle syndesmosis injury. Now, they did have scans, and it did come up clear, which is great news.
Yep.
But he was obviously, it was still pretty swollen and sore, so I would be surprised if he played this week.
Yeah, he's on test. He'll be 50-50, I would have thought. Look, it's a hard one to call. It just gives you an excuse to get rid of him at the moment if he does play, I think, because he's been pretty poor from a standpoint this year, to be honest, but you know,
and he could use a rest anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you only had the bye 2 weeks ago, but
yeah, well, that's true.
You know, look, at the end of the day, if he comes up, he does. If he doesn't, well, you move him on anyway.
Yeah, that's it. All right, and we got a couple of players coming back. One's who's definitely coming back, Zana. So we've had the Thursday night teams released.
Yep.
And as you mentioned in our chat, there's not a lot of relevance there, especially for salary cap, but in draft leagues, the return of Zach Butters, Zano.
Yes.
So he is back this week. Now, I'm imagining he's going to have limited time on ground. And given that they've got the Thursday game, a special draft, he's going to be a great loophole option. I don't think you play him on the field, but definitely you'd have him as your emergency. And if he does manage to go off, you could then loop him on there in draft. And the other one that's potentially will come back this week, or they may give him a run in the twos if that's existing, is Stephen Cornelio from the Giants.
Yeah. Well, I thought I read something he had a run in the twos, played about 50% game time last week. So I can't remember where I saw that, but I'm sure I read that somewhere. So if that's the case, he may well be ready to come in almost straight away.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So that, I mean, that's pretty much it. Obviously keep an eye on teams for this week coming out on Thursday. But Zano, given, you know, looking at the teams when they do come out, who should we be targeting? Who have you got there at your famous chart of value?
It's the same old, I guess, discussion as last week, Arch. Not much has changed. Dangerfield's obviously a huge target for a lot of people at the moment, and rightly so. He had a really good game on the weekend. His value's good for all formats. The question is what we think he can sort of target going forward. Lachie Neal, if he comes back in, he's still got to be on the radar to grab this week or next week. Guys like Adams, Grundy, even Tom Stewart, they're all sort of starting to get to the point now where if you want them, now's the time to grab them. So,
yep.
So they're the ones. One that I'm looking at quite closely as well, Archers, is Rowan Marshall as well. Had a really good game on the weekend. Second game back, played good time on ground for the first time and scored really well. And he's very underpriced as well. So they're sort of the guys that I'm chasing. Oh, Yo as well. I'm not big on Yo because I think at some stage I'll rest him because of his the injury he's coming back from is pretty intense. So I'm not quite sort of convinced on that, but he's the other one as well. As far as rookies, Arch, there's not really anything coming through at the moment.
That's rough, isn't it? It's getting to that time of the season. Good coaches, Zano, wouldn't be worried because they would have full teams already, but you and I aren't good coaches. Well, I know I'm not. So it's a problem.
It's we'll get to that. It's a case of at the moment, yeah, well, I'm lucky to be in a position in most formats to be able to get a couple of non-playing guys on the bench and shouldn't really hurt me. But, yeah, you just want something, you know. This is the time of year you start to expect a few of the cellar dwellers to go, here you go, buddy, have a game or two. Let's just see what you can do for next year. But we haven't seen it yet. So there's a lot of guys sitting around that are maxed out or close to it. No one to go to. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. All right, everybody, that's that. Now, let's jump into what we're going to do this week, Arch. Now, you can start off, of course. So, what are you looking at trade-wise around the traps?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Obviously, we're running close to close to the brink in the limited trade formats of Dream Team and Supercoach. Mm. So in Dream Team, I am looking at cashing up here. So I'm going James Jordan and Poulter out. They're both starting to lose a bit of money there. Yep. I'll look at bringing in Jeremy Sharp, who I believe is on the bubble for that one.
Yeah.
And look, I thought bugger it, Zano. He's had a good 2 weeks. I'm bringing Nick Newman in.
Yeah, okay.
I thought I might as well with that one. And that still leaves me with four trades and 350K in the bank. Look, it's one of those ones where you go, stuff it, why not? I'm not winning it. Let's have some fun and see how we go.
Look, Newman's not the worst get. He's... I'll be interested to see how much he gets impact with Williams back this week. But Doherty's going to be out for the season by the looks. So,
yeah, exactly.
I always said from the start, I don't think Nick Newman's in the Carlton's best 22 because you've got too many defenders in that role as it is. But while there's a few guys out, I think he holds that spot. So,
Yep. Coach, look, I think I'll be getting rid of Patrick Cripps.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go him to danger, but with this news on, obviously Jeremy Cameron there, I think I might reevaluate that one. So I will be doing a trade there. That leaves me with eight trades and just one rookie left on the field there, which would be handy there. And whether I do that upgrade as well this week, I'm not sure. We'll just have to see. AFL Fantasy Zano, Luke Edwards goes. He will be a victim of the poor Eagles form there. He didn't have a game anyway.
Nah.
So I'll go him to Garcia. Look, Garcia, I think for the Bulldogs, he had a heartbeat, so he's 179K from memory. Didn't score great, but hey, let's face it, it's a heartbeat. And then in the midfield, I'm currently running Bianco in the midfield, so I'm actually going to bring in Elliot Yeo. The Eagles do have a good run coming up, which is what I like. So they've got North Adelaide, then St Kilda and Collingwood. And let's face it, Zano, we mentioned last week with my lack of cash gen, I need the value. And Yeo is priced at just over 600K and seems to be back like he's playing pretty much the full or expected time on ground. So I'm willing to roll the dice on Yeo and just see how we go with that one.
Yeah,
that being said, he'll probably get named out.
Fair enough. That's my concern, is that I think that they will have to rest him at some, especially with the easy run arch, they might rest him. So, and don't need him and keep him for the, they got a tough last three games of the year. So they might get him right for that. Just so you know, he's priced at about 90 as well. So, there's some value there, but I don't know if it's huge. But look, it just depends on how desperate you are at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, and the way I look at it, the Eagles need to win these games. They can't afford to rest him. They can't afford to not play him, because if they drop any of those games, doesn't matter how well they go in the last few games, they're not going to they're not going to be a factor. So that's my thinking. Whether it's going to come true or not, I'm sure I'll speak with my good mate Adam Simpson after the podcast, and we'll go from there.
I'm pretty sure they'll be right for North Adelaide and Collingwood. Don't know about St Kilda, who have been up and about a bit lately. In fact, didn't they say they had a huge comeback last time, didn't they? So,
St Kilda,
I remember something about that. So that'll be interesting to see. But no, look, as I said, I don't know. I'm a full midfield at the moment anyway, so I don't need Yeo. So it doesn't faze me at all. So that's cool.
All right, so what are you doing, Zano? What are your plans?
So I'll start with Supercoach. Now, I've still got that Spud Phillips in my team in the forward line. So he's out. Archie's going to Rowan Marshall. I'm really quite high on Rowan Marshall at the moment across most, because it does give you that link forward ruck as well. So he's really underpriced as well. I forgot to check what he was actually priced at, but he's right unders at the moment. So I'm bringing him in for Phillips and Supercoach. And I'm just going to now move on Coleman Jones to a cheap rookie. I can afford to have a non-playing rookie there at the moment, but if somebody's named, I'll bring them in. So that'll actually leave me at full prem with five trades left and 150K in the bank, with a projected score of just over 2,400 in Supercoach. So I don't want to muck around too much with that arch, because that looks fairly pretty, to be honest with you. So I'll probably sit on that. In Dream Team, it's not too different. I've got Bailey Scott. Was it Bailey Scott?
Yep.
The Scott, yep. To any cheap rookie.
Which one? The Bulldogs
one? No, the Bulldogs one. It's not Bailey. It's the other one. Anthony Scott. To any cheap rookie, if someone's named, I'll bring him in. If not, I can afford a non-player there as a loop. That was the dream that I brought Walters in about 4 weeks ago. So he has to go. And I'm going to jump straight into the fire with Jordan Ngoi there, Arch. So that could just be breaking every rule and every bone in my body, that one. But if you're counting the goalie as full prem, that does leave me full premium with six trades up my sleeve. So I've got no cash in the bank. It leaves me about $13,000. But I am projected there at just under 2,300 in Dream Team. So again, pretty happy with that. Now, AF, this is where I'm a little bit stuck, Arch. So I'm going to move Tracy to Marshall. And I'll put Darcy into the ruck. So that'll give me Gorn, Darcy in the ruck, and then midfield I mentioned earlier will have Marshall added to that. So I really like the value of him at the moment. The issue I've got though, Arch, is I haven't got any other rookies to move on that are maxed out yet. My best is Bianco to move on.
Yep.
So, and he's still got a little bit of cash up his sleeves, but I do need to move him on to sort of any rookie that may be playing, if possible, just to get the cash to move Tracy up to Marshall. So, yeah, so that's going to be the move there, which is a little bit early on Bianco, but if it also means that I can be full prem, which it will, then I'm happy with that. And that'll give me about 130K in the bank next week. Oh, sorry, no, that's still with one rookie, but gives me 130K in the bank next week to get Neil in. So who I plan to get in the following week.
Nice.
And projected just over 2,200 based on that. So reasonably happy with all that at the moment, Arch. And yeah, as I said, I'm taking a bit of a shot in Marshall because, yeah, I just really liked his game on the weekend. And look, we know that he's capable 100-plus scoring player. So hopefully he doesn't get injured again. And I think this is the second time he's going to be in my team this year. I reckon I had him earlier in the season as well. So. You know, in-out, that's the story of the season this year, so that's cool. Yeah,
that's it. And he's been going really well with Paddy Ryder in the team as well. They seem to be sharing those duties well, giving them both the rest that they need, you know, probably, 60, 70% Marshall rucking to 40, 30% Ryder, which works well where both of them are in their careers.
Now that Marshall's getting back to full fitness, yeah, that's what it was before he got injured the second time, is he was rucking 70, 80% of the time and then just letting, Ryder come in that 20% of the time to pinch hit, you know, a bit. He's only been playing about 65 to 75% time on ground. This week just gone, he got up to about 82, 83% and nearly cracked 100. So I think he's back to that level now and obviously should hopefully just get better and better with his fitness. So see how we go.
Absolutely.
But that's it this week, everybody. That's who we're looking at. Look, thanks again for tuning in. As always, hit me up at OTS Zano. Keep an eye on overlinesports.com.au, brought to you by Check My House Price. And especially for our counterparts in Greater Sydney at the moment, Arch, we just tell everyone to stay safe.
Absolutely, and you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And as we say every week, if you are struggling a little bit, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. And please hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. And not just us, but all the fantasy sports podcasts that you do listen to. And just on a quietly unrelated note, Zano, go Suns.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, and our talk about Giannis last week was very, very wrong. So
we were a little bit off there, weren't we? Yep. That's what we get for taking internet rumours as truth.
Exactly, at the time of recording, you know. No research in this podcast. Thanks again, everybody.
No, absolutely.
And the Suns are up one zip, and let's see what happens for the remainder of the... What a turnaround for the last 3 years, eh, Arch, by those guys. But, all us Carlton supporters live in hope.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.